This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Let's freaking go. PHL Nation, our model actually likes LSU quite a bit. I was very shocked when our analytics ace in the PHL Discord sent me our final numbers that we normally run before every game. But first, let's hear from Brian Kelly on the players that could be out, including star Whit Weeks.
All right. Availability, Anderson, Mobanga. Those guys are probable. Weeks and Jamari Butler are questionable, and Gooden is doubtful. All right, fire away. Get that out of the way. That'll cut your time down here. You guys will be able to make lunch.
Yeah, and just to clarify with Whit, is it just
he's questionable?
Just the ankle injury that he's been dealing with.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
When it comes to this Vanderbilt offense, have you seen them evolve at all since last season?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a development in their understanding of the offense, what they want to do. You know, second year there, right, where they've really I think what they've done more than anything else is develop the players. As I mentioned in the press conference, I think the players that are back in this offense now are much more developed from last year. They're more confident in running the offense as well.
We'll get to more from BK here in just a moment, but the big story here is Whit Weeks. He is our best linebacker. He has not been our best defensive player. That, of course, has probably been A.J. Halsey or Mansoor Delane. What else can you say about those two? Probably Delane, then Halsey, and then probably Whit Weeks, who's had a weird season. It's mostly been good. Obviously, you have the targeting. You've had some injuries mixed in there. And now we are here with Whit Weeks also deciding to cut his hair. Welcome to the Buzz Cut Nation, Whit Weeks. I haven't seen what the final product actually looks like. I've just seen a few TikToks of him actually doing the dang thing. And look, Whit Weeks, if you are in the position I am in right now, we had to delay the start of this stream because our air conditioning has been out for the last 30 minutes. And I was waiting for an air guy to come here and I was going to delay the stream, whatever. Nobody cares. But I am hot right now. If you have long hair, it cools you down when you cut it all off. I'm just telling you. And I've always been buzz cut Carter. I used to have the Odell afro. I really, really, really did. I hate to put this on you guys right now, but that was my former hair. I had a fro, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the Odell cut. And boom, look at those dashing fine young gentlemen right there, one of which is a little bit faster than the other, but both have a football and soccer backdrop. So there you go. Odell, you always have an open invite to the channel. But the truth is, I'm excited for Whit Weeks. I'm in the position to say that I think he does tough it out and play, while at the same time, I'm also okay with him not playing, because I do think, let's just say we were to win this game, Whit Weeks plays, but he gets seriously hurt and he can't go versus Texas A&M or potentially more games down the road. Well, we're not doing anything without Whit Weeks, okay? And whether you think we could still win a lot with Whit Weeks, we can all agree that our linebacker depth isn't as great as one would think. And then on top of that, I think this is a big thing as well. We need, and I don't want to say this aloud because it's going to sound like I'm jinxing us. This is our first 11 a.m. game, so it is a little bit different on the body clock, even if you do practice at 11 a.m. like LSU's been doing, 10 a.m. to be specific, but still. And then the second thing is we are playing on a turf field, and we normally don't play on turf fields. Season opener, on the road, grass field, Ole Miss. I believe that's a turf field now that I think about it. Or is it grass? I think it's, I don't know. I should go back and look. I go back and forth. Why am I in the middle of this? Look, I could just pull this up right here. I have a photo of Ole Miss's stadium. 3-2-1 and boom. That's the Chiefs. There we go. Grass is what it looks like here. So I was like, wait, I think it used to be turf, and then they moved over to grass. Now I got to get this off because it's making me vomit. But I don't like turf fields. I don't want people with lower limb weakness to be playing on turf fields either. So Whit Weeks, only play if you're fully healthy, because I do think we can win this game without him. The problem is football is a cumulative sport. You need more than just one great player. If our team was just Monsoor Delane and a bunch of average pieces, we wouldn't be a good defense. You do begin to start grasping for straws when a lot of injuries happen. So I will tell you, Jamari Butler, we'll see how things look. You might not think Jamari Butler is that great. He's not really an elite defensive end. There is a drop-off between Peyton, Pyburn, and then to me, Butler. But we are already out. Number 19, Gabriel Relaford, friend of the channel. He's been on the channel before. He's out for the season. So then you go down to Dylan Carpenter. Can he give you something? It's mostly been fine with Dylan Carpenter. It's not been great. He's out there playing, though. I think he's good enough to be an SEC rotational defensive end. So you might be without Butler. You might be without Bernard Gooden, who has a collarbone issue. These are year six guys that have been around the block. We need those guys for the long term. So that's part of why you want Whit Weeks to play, is that there are so many other injuries on this team. So now I want to get into what our own personal analytics show. And this is just one of the charts that we currently have up on our Patreon. Okay. So, you know, these were the numbers versus South Carolina. And as many of you know, this game turned out to be how a lot of us expected it to be. Okay. Now, I want to show our LSU versus Vanderbilt analytics. And right now, you look at quite a few charts. My favorite chart analyst out there is a guy by the name of Parker at Stats of War, an amazing analytical account. He has Vanderbilt winning this game 26-19. So he thinks the line should be at 7. Well, our line, LSU by 3.5. We have a ton of value on LSU versus Vanderbilt. Now, I want this to be clear. This is the official PHL model. This isn't necessarily how I feel about this game. This is just part of our evaluation when it comes to Vanderbilt. And on top of that, the person who does this for me, this is kind of his model that's just under the PHL umbrella. So I am not all in on our model saying, hey, LSU by 3.5. But the truth is, when you look at LSU and you look at this team overall, and then you look at Vanderbilt, them being the first time since 2018, them being favored over an SEC team, them by 2.5 at home, not, it's not really a shocker. But it should also not shock you that LSU, per what and how our computer sees it, is a 3.5-point favorite. We have it a 28-24 game. Very interesting. Vegas has this a 25-23 game in favor of the Commodores. And you look at this, LSU, SP plus scoring when it comes to our defense, 4th in the country. Vanderbilt, when it comes to their offense, 10th in the country. But Vanderbilt, even though they have played a few good Power 4 teams, in particular Alabama, all the other P4 teams that they have played have been bottom of the barrel. Virginia Tech, who has since fired their coach. You take a look at South Carolina, one of the worst teams in the SEC, and Sellers went down in that game. So as high as I've been on Vanderbilt's offense being as explosive as it's been, you could see the lowest offensive category for them nationally is 24th. And that is yards per pass attempt. And that is still really good. Another way you can look at it is the category where Vanderbilt is at their lowest, which is yards per pass attempt. Our highest ranking nationally on offense is 30th. So their offense hasn't just been better than ours. It's been way better than ours. So why on earth would we have LSU as a 3.5-point favorite? Well, Vanderbilt, in their one game that they were tested, only put up 10 points versus an Alabama defense that's probably not as good as LSU's. It's very good, but LSU's defense is truly elite, probably the best in the SEC. Then you get into where this LSU defense has really been dominant, and that's on the back end. I think Alabama's secondary is not nearly as good as LSU's secondary. So I think that's part of why we believe LSU has a good shot of actually winning this game. And then you get into the Vanderbilt defense. This just really stood out to me when really evaluating this game. Vanderbilt's rush defense is something you can run on. And once again, you take a look at the numbers here. Yards per rush, that's actually one of their stronger categories. But then again, who have they played that actually can run the football? Now, I know LSU cannot run the football at all. But what I see when watching Vanderbilt is that this is indeed one of the weaker rush defenses that I've seen in the SEC. So we should be able to find a way to run the ball. As bad as LSU's running the football offense has been, keep in mind, when we played Ole Miss and played that horrendous rush defense of the Rebels, we did not try to run the football. And then we also did not have Caden Durham in that game. We will have Caden Durham in today's game, or should I say Saturday's game. And I feel as if that's going to put LSU in a way better spot for Saturday. So take that for what it's worth. Now, what else really stands out to me when it comes to LSU versus Vanderbilt? Well, this offense is just ridiculous for Vanderbilt. This offense really has some power. It has a lot of bite. It has a lot of explosiveness. 28 at running back, Cedric Alexander is a real deal Holyfield RB. Sherry Berry, thank you for joining the membership program. Really appreciate you so very much. You should join the LSU membership program. I appreciate it. I've seen an uptick in the LSU memberships, and it's actually been a really good day for PHL personally. You know, it's so interesting when you look at the Vanderbilt offense, and I have LSU's offense pulled up here. I feel as if when I watch Vanderbilt's offense, this is an offense that does a really good job of not hurting themselves. They do not commit a lot of dumb penalties. You know, Brian Kelly compared this to a service academy, which I totally get. And look, their leading rusher is a quarterback in Diego Pop.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Of you. But number 28, Cedric Alexander, is a real deal RB. Long run of the year was versus Alabama. 5 rushing touchdowns on the season. And then you get offensively, wide receivers. This is not an elite group, but this is still a good pass-catching group overall. Eli Stowers, probably the best pure receiving tight end in the SEC. Junior Sherrill himself is a very good player. We played against him last year. He had a big drop in the game for a first down. Number 0, good player. From Nashville, this means a lot to him. 23 catches for 274. So for me, I like where we are when it comes to our pass defense going up against what should be a Vanderbilt passing offense that we should be able to take care of. Okay? Now, coming up in just a moment, one of my favorite guests on the planet Earth will join us, and some of you will recognize him. Let's go. One of my former roommates watching. Good to see you, P. Mike. Probably the best trombonist in here. King MJ, good to see you. D. Really? I do want to shout out D. Really before we go to this next topic. He has the best takes in the Discord. It's always him, Sam. Dude, they're always crushing it in the Discord. I'm talking really good stuff. Now, there's plenty of other people in there who have really good takes, but D Really is always coming in with the heat. Good to see you. Now, this is more of an off-season thing, and I do think this is important because the big thing that tore up the LSU media sphere today was a conversation about Ryan Clark, ironically. And it didn't make any sense to me. Why are we discussing this now? I will save my thoughts on this matter for, I would guess, the bye week. That's probably a better time to bring that up. But the man who made the comments, Braden Fiocco, he has yet to respond to my DM because I want to have him on. I'm a big fan of his. But man, he has thrown some takes out this week. Oh boy. It's just not really important to me right now. It's just not. Now, if it had to deal with Brian Kelly, which he's thrown some takes out about that, sure. I'd be very interested in discussing that. But if you want to see, you can check it out. Scarborough is who tweeted it out. So I go to his account. I didn't even retweet it. But I wanted to address it because two of you sent it to me today. And I was like, don't really have any thoughts on it. I do have thoughts on it, but just not now. Because we have one of 12 games that we are guaranteed to play in a college football season happening on Saturday. One of 8 guaranteed SEC games, actual football being played. So I'll more so focus on that. The big news today, though, was Kurt Cignetti did sign an extension with Indiana, and rightfully so. He's a top 5 coach in college football. You could make a strong case that he is the best coach in college football right now. It's probably Kirby Smart, but you can make a strong case that Sig is the guy. I love it. Like, I love the fact that Indiana is relevant. I'm not talking Antoine Randall. I'm talking Indiana. Let's get to a few more comments. P. Mike, you've actually played trombone at some of the biggest bars in Nashville. I think this is LSU's coming out game, breakout time, baby. Let's go. My wife's actually in Nashville right now. And it would have made a lot of sense for me to go to this game. I couldn't. I'm calling high school games on Friday nights this year. But damn, dude, Nashville is an incredible city. Incredible. Diversity, music, food. It's got everything. I need to go to Lainey Wilson's bar. That's the thing that everyone's complaining about. Every A-list country star has a bar. I don't care. I'll go. If it's fun, I'll go. Who cares if the drinks are overpriced? Take me there. Give me some of that that watermelon moonshine, baby. Let's go. All right, coming up next, if you've not heard from this guest, he's got some of the best takes on the planet Earth. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37%? If you are in South Louisiana, just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit FortifiedGulf.com. That's Power Hour Network listeners and viewers. You might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their 5 locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Aunt Marshall joins us, No Chill Sports. The first question I actually want to ask you is your preseason prediction right now for LSU women's basketball is what?
Ooh.
You see, you actually break down the film, run numbers. You care more than anyone about this team. and you do the Twitter fights, you do it all. Is this a Final Four team in your mind?
I believe so.
Don't BS us.
No, I believe so because you have a dominant big inside in Kate Koval who can give you rim protection, who can give you rebounding. Obviously, that you lost a lot of rebounding with the Anissa Morrow, you know, graduating and moving on to the WNBA. So I don't think one player in particular can replace what she did on the glass, but I think Kate Koval can replace a lot of that production. And then you look at, obviously, Flage and Michaela Williams, the scoring combination, both of them can score three levels, all three levels, inside, mid-range, three-point line. And the addition of Malaysia Fuwale, I think, is very interesting to me. If Kim can get her to play the role successfully that Kim is trying to get her, you know, to morph into, so to speak, then I believe she'll give LSU something they haven't had on this team since probably Alexis Morris.
Yeah.
And that is a guard who can take over the game, not just scoring the ball, but take over the pace of the game. And Malaysia Fuwale can control the speed of the game to where LSU wants to speed other teams up because, you know, we have mostly, you know, guards on the court with probably one big. So you're going to want to play at a faster pace. She can do that, and she can control the game. So if she can successfully become kind of a point guard more than a combo guard that South Carolina used her as, I think she's going to be the key that unlocks the Final Four for this women's basketball team.
Yeah, and you hope for it because if you haven't seen full Wiley play, she can do all the razzle-dazzle. Right.
Yes.
You hope, though, now that she's going to be like a full time point guard, you get more of the meat and potatoes. Right. You get more of the down to down, if you will. To use an example, we know for a while he could throw a 65 yard deep pass, but can she run the offense? Can she move the chains? Right. So I'm really excited. I don't like the new uniforms.
You don't?
No. But I'm resistant to LSU.
More of a traditionalist, I guess.
Yeah, when it comes to LSU uniforms, I'm basic. I'm a basic Becky. I'm a pumpkin spice latte when it comes to LSU unis. You know, for me, and I didn't mean to hijack a football stream, but you're a women's basketball expert. Last question. We'll get back to football. I like that Fuwale did this from South Carolina to LSU. And there's a piece of me that kind of likes that it adds to the LSU-South Carolina rivalry, if you will. Because I think it's good for the sport that Don and Kim don't love each other, won't be breaking bread with one another. And I'm glad that LSU-South Carolina fans hate each other. When it comes to what do they, am I right?
You're correct. It transcends women's college basketball. It's done made its way into the WNBA stratosphere to where Angel Reese gets hate from South Carolina fans.
Oh, they hate her.
Aaliyah Boston and some South Carolina players get hate from LSU fans. It's nasty, honestly. For you to think that women's basketball can get as nasty as some football conversations, it's just as vicious sometimes.
Good. As long as I understand some gets thrown overboard, and I shouldn't be saying good. Yeah, don't do the nasty, like misogynistic stuff. But if you're a smaller sport, rivalries make it a lot better. They just do. It's why I do not want Tony Vitello to go to the Braves. It's like the sport needs some of this, right? And I'm so excited for LSU, South Carolina. I just want to beat them once. I just want to beat Don one time. That's all I ask. That's all I ask.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from South Carolina. They're a loaded team in their own right, but this might be one of the less stacked rosters that she's had in a while. Simply because of Chloe Kitts tore her ACL. She's out for the season. Ashlyn Watkins, their other dominant big, is not with the team and not playing this year. So they still have Joyce Edwards, and they got the transfer from Florida State, Tania Latson. Like, they still have great players over there, but it's not 10 deep like Don has had in most years at South Carolina.
Yeah, as long as UConn doesn't win it again. I know they're going to be one of the heaviest.
They're loaded, bro.
Yeah, they're going to be the heavy favorite. What stands out to you between LSU and Vanderbilt?
Other than the fact that Vanderbilt's favored for the first time that I could ever remember against an SEC school, I think it's the fact that Vanderbilt is so confident about being able to stop LSU's offense. We didn't hear this talk from the Vandy going into the Bama game from their defense. Like, we heard talk from Pavia and, you know what I mean, about what he was going to do and what the offense was going to do. But for their defense to come out as confident, it kind of reassures what I've been worried about with our offense, is that it doesn't put fear in anybody defensively. Nothing we do offensively makes the defense feel like, oh, we got to stop this from happening. If you can't run the ball consistently, then they're not dropping eight guys into the box on defense to open up one-on-ones outside and open up deep shots. They're keeping two safeties high, forcing Nussmeier to try to throw the ball underneath, which we've seen at times he's not always, you know, happy to do so. Sometimes he wants to take that shot downfield and kind of force it in windows that he probably shouldn't. And I think if you do that against a Vanderbilt team who's going to use that momentum against you, they're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat Vanderbilt. And if you go into Nashville and you start giving them extra possessions and you start putting momentum on their side, it's just going to make it that much harder for this offense to overcome the hole that they dug themselves in. Like, you're not at home, so you don't get the advantage that you had against Florida, and you're probably not going to get five turnovers either. So you see what happens against like an Ole Miss whenever your offense, your defense doesn't play perfect, and your offense can't dig it out that hole. So your offense can't contribute to anything and help Vanderbilt's offense at all. And your offense has to find a way to put more than 20 points on the board.
Who needs to step up outside of Garrett Nussmeier for you? Or who it could be someone that's already playing well that you think needs to have that big game.
If I said who needs to step up, it wouldn't be one person in particular. It would be Brad Davis and his entire room.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to point at, you know, Weston Davis and say, oh, he's the guy struggling. He's the guy that needs to make improvements. But everybody on that offensive line has struggled at times this year. Everybody on that line has played inconsistent. And everybody on that offensive line needs to have a performance Saturday to where they're not the weak point on the offense. Whether that's pass protection, run game, being disciplined, not getting stupid penalties on third and one and things of that nature that backs up drives or kills drives. Or, you know, you have a first and 10 and you get 7-8 yards, but there's a holding call and now you know, first and 20, things like that you can't have from the offensive line. So I would say the offensive line as a whole is who needs to have a great game or play better, because they've been too inconsistent for our offense to depend on them playing good.
Pete Nakos reporting that Bernard Gooden will not be available Saturday. It's not a shock. We've been sharing what we know this week. I will also say, I don't remember which one, because I like Pete Nakos a lot. Or I don't know how to pronounce his last name, to be honest. I think it is Nakos. There was one of these, I think, they didn't get right as far as an LSU player is concerned earlier this year. But if I had a gun in my head based on what I know, Gooden is probably not going to go. Butler's going to be interesting. I do worry about the depth. I really worry about the depth. I worry about them attacking the flats in particular with Witt not being there. Lots of split zoned easy throws. I expect that to happen. So,
one thing I noticed, and you're the film guy, obviously.
But bring it. Let's go.
One thing I noticed when watching Vanderbilt play is they like to use a lot of misdirection on offense. And with Witt possibly or probably not playing, relying on a Devon Keys to most likely step up in their role, talk about important, who's going to be important. I think him and Wes Weeks trying to fill that Whit Weeks void and playing discipline. Don't let the misdirections and all the eye candy Vandy's doing, you know, fool you and, you know, play sound football. I think that's going to be really key.
What key players do Vanderbilt have out? They actually have quite a few
before we get into it.
Yeah. So before we get into this, I'll go ahead and show it on my screen here for all the players that Vanderbilt has out. Okay. The official SEC injury report. And you'll see it's quite a few names on here.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, you know, for me, no one of, based on what I know about Vanderbilt's team, as far as out is concerned, no one of serious importance. Marlon Jones is interesting, but most of their key guys will be there. Do you think LSU gets it done before we get to some SEC picks here?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think they get it done, but I think we're all stressed out for four quarters.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an ugly game. Once again, our model has LSU as a 3.5-point favorite. So, and
that's about what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay, good. I'm not the guy that makes the PHO model, by the way. I'm not smart enough to do that just yet when it comes to the analytics. Let's get to the SEC board here. We do it every Thursday, run through some of our best bets and picks. Is there anything on the board here that interests you the most, Ant?
The Mississippi State-Florida game is pretty interesting at that spread to me. That's a pretty big number.
Ooh, the Bulldogs getting it done on the road.
I'm not saying they win, but I think they could keep it within one possession.
Let's go to a few other comments before I run through some of my picks. Market says, I think it'll be ugly. What does AF stand for? I don't get that. But I think LSU's pass game will be a tad bit better to win by 3 or 7. And I do know what that means. I didn't want my chat to say F word. And then people think Abuela Danger is going to be on our show in a second. Do you know who that is, Ant?
I don't.
Of course you don't. Because you're a saint. You're a good human being. Dude, yes, Whit Weeks did cut his hair. Texas on the road at Kentucky, 12.5-point favorites in this one. Man, I'm trying to find anything on this week's board that I just love. We've been really hot picking SEC games this year. Really, really, really hot. Auburn at night, catching 1.5 versus a Missouri team that's not been on the road yet in the SEC.
That is true.
It's very interesting. It just seems like Auburn is the play. I understand that this locker room could be divided. A team captain quit the team this week to preserve a red shirt. Give me the Tigers outright in that one.
I see what you did there.
There you go. There you go. So if you circle back around, I'm going to look like a genius either way.
That's right. That's right.
Bama 7.5 versus Tennessee.
I think I like that over.
Oh, that's a big big number of 59.5. You like the over there?
Yeah, I think Tennessee does what they do to everybody, and they jump out the gate quick with 14, 17 early points. And then Bama's going to get about 30, 31 points, somewhere around in there. And then probably 34, somewhere around in there. And then Tennessee is going to score 10 points in the second half to finish with about 27. So, 34, 27, 38, 27, something like that.
Okay. So it is interesting. Two top 15 ranked SEC games, both at 7.5. Are you leaning towards Georgia and Alabama covering in both these games?
I'm more confident in Alabama covering than I am in Georgia. Other than the second half against Tennessee, I haven't been impressed by much Georgia has done. I don't really know if they're going to be able to just, turn and hand it off for 240 yards against Ole Miss's defense. So if Gunnar Stockton has to make plays, I haven't really seen it to trust him to make those plays yet.
Notre Dame, USC. I actually really like USC. I like 20 USC.
20-year anniversary of the Bush push.
That is true. The Bush push.
Yesterday was the 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary of that play. Oh, my God. I'm so old.
Right.
I like USC to cover in this one. Notre Dame missing key offensive linemen, missing a few key backers. USC offense has been cooking. They're going to be up for this game. They've had some.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bad travel spots going towards the east. I think that's part of why that line is what it is. But, man, it's going to be a fun game. I cannot wait to watch that one. Give me USC to cover here, but Notre Dame finds a way to get it done.
I want to take USC outright so bad.
Don't do that.
I know. I don't know what it is about USC this year, but I kind of feel like this might be the year that they sneak into the playoff.
Tari says Bama's defense is not that great. Well, that goes to the overplay from Aunt Marshall. I like it. I really, really, really do. Before we skedaddle, which is, once again, I always point out, if there was a word from the Caucasian vernacular that I would steal for the rest of my life, and I already have stolen it, it is skedaddle. Skedaddle is
skedaddle.
The you have to admit, skedaddle, dude.
That's a good word.
Come on, man. You cannot. Oh my God, you just cannot get over a skedaddle. There's nothing.
What about a good malarkey?
Malarkey's good. I get down with malarkey. But I remember my neighbor, Uncle Frank, was the nicest guy. He lives in Oklahoma. He wasn't my real uncle, but he would always say, "Let's skedaddle." And I was like, God, dog, that word is so great. Oh my God. I did want to ask your thoughts on the Pelicans really quickly, because you're a basketball expert. I don't have a lot of basketball experts on here.
All right, so if you haven't heard, the Pelicans are changing their name. They're now known as the New Orleans. Will be evaluated in 2 weeks because that apparently is the case with every one of our major players every year. Kevon Looney, when he was signed by the Pelicans, was noted for his durability. You know, he hardly ever missed games when he was with Golden State. The season hasn't even started, and he's already out for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know what it is. You remember when everybody said that the Superdome was built on a gravesite? That's why it was cursed.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think the gravesite was actually across the street. Like, the map was a little bit off on that, but they're cursed, bro. That's all I can say. We finally get Zion looking in shape, looking healthy, looking like what we thought we would get when we drafted Zion, and somebody else gets hurt. I mean, we still have Herb Jones, who I think is highly underrated in terms of his defense. They did the GM poll, who the best perimeter defenders, and he wasn't even on the list. I think that's criminal.
Trey Murphy. He didn't even make the.
He didn't get votes.
I'm trying to think who would be on there.
Caruso was on there. Dyson Daniels, Amen Thompson. Who else? It was guys like that on the list, but I don't know how he didn't make the list.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But, I would think he would.
He should definitely be on. But I think this is the year that Trey Murphy gets the respect he deserves in the NBA stratosphere. With Brandon Ingram gone now to Toronto, if he fills that void in the starting lineup in terms of scoring and, you know, perimeter play. And I really think he could be the best player on this team when it's said and done. His versatility on offense, he could be a 50-40-90 guy. If for those who don't know what that means, that's a 50% shooting from the field total, 40% shooting from 3-point line, 90% shooting from the free throw line. Yeah. I think he's that kind of scorer, and shooter especially. And now that he kind of gets more opportunities with Brandon Ingram gone, I think he makes a big jump, and he's going to start getting the respect his game deserves.
Yeah. So I'm not a Willie Green fan, as you know. I can't get there.
Yeah. Did you see the fight, by the way?
No.
Jose in preseason.
Oh, wait. It was against one of the Thompson twins. Yeah, I did see
that. Yes, yes. But that's
that's what we need.
That's what we need, bro. One thing that Willie Green did that I will appreciate here in his time in New Orleans is he gave us the soundbite versus the Phoenix Suns in the huddle when he said, "You gotta fight, you gotta fight." And that's what this team now has with like guys like Jose, guys like Herb, Sadiq Bey, I think, is going to be an underrated pickup for us.
I totally forgot Sadiq Bey.
Yeah.
That's why Jordan Poole trade.
Yeah, that's right. Jordan Poole. I think Jordan Poole has grown up a lot in his last few years, so I think he's going to be more mature, more of like an on-court leader. So I like the team that they put together. Like you said, Willie Green is going to be a little bit of a hindrance, but if they could sneak into the back half of the playoffs, play in or whatever, I'm good with it. Because you got to look, DeJounte's still hurt. We don't get him back till probably January. So you get him back, and then it's going to – oh, and the rookies. Shout out to Pierce for this. The rookies. Man, you got Derek Queen has looked as good as my guy, No Fears, Jeremiah Fears has looked. I'm telling you the rookie to look out for, Carter. My guy, Mr. Peavy. Micah Peavy.
I know nothing.
6'8", wing. He's got good length on the perimeter defensively. He's basically Herb Jones, but a little bit better offensively, you know, coming out of college. He's got the same kind of motor, the same kind of defensive acumen, but he's got a little bit more length to him, and he's a little bit more polished offensively. I think he's going to be a sleeper for this team.
And I hope. Dude, I just
they're currently getting beat by 12 against the Magic, by the way.
I didn't know they're playing. But I don't care if they make the playoffs or not. I would prefer they do or don't. I don't care as much as I do Matt McMahon making the NCAA tournament. I really want for every live stream for me to lead with Matt McMahon make the damn tournament, please. It's causing me so much discomfort in my life, and I'm such a bigger football and women's basketball guy than baseball and all the other ones.
Yeah. So but, so if you had to pick Pelicans make the playoffs or McMahon the tournament, you pick McMahon?
Oh, it's not even close. It's not even close. Because I know if the Pelicans make the playoffs, no one really gives a rip. You know?
That's fair.
Men's basketball, we just got to make the damn tournament. Like, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of not being in the dance. Like, well, it drives
preseason ranked to finish second to last in the SEC.
We're not gonna make it. I know we're not gonna make it. Now they have a sick.
I'm not trying to crush your dreams here. I'm just.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not. And the funny thing is, the Pelicans, I like more as a team than the LSU men's basketball team. Right, I love the Pelicans, but I just need the men's team to make the tournament. I don't know why it's been bugging me so damn much, but we're not going to make it, and my dreams are going to be absolutely positively shattered. So there you go. Ant, I really appreciate you. Murphy 318 is where you could find him. I appreciate our phone conversations, our friendship, all that stuff, all the hard work that you do. Last thing, okay? More than you love basketball is your love for North Louisiana athletics, okay? When it's all said and done, I'm going to give you your opportunity to call your damn shot right now. Is it a lock that Peyton Houston is an all-SEC quarterback for LSU? Is it a mortal gajillion-bajillion lock that the statistically, when his career is done, he will be the best high school quarterback to ever play in the state of Louisiana?
That's possible. I was talking about somebody, him today to somebody. There's another quarterback from Shreveport that I don't know if you know too much about him, but Ziegler from Benton. He's got a few SEC offers and SMU offers and things like that. But he's got more of the prototypical size, that, you know what I mean, of an SEC. But I told somebody today, if Pop Houston was Malachi Ziegler's size, he might be one of the greatest high school quarterback prospects ever.
Who's this guy? Bryce Restovic.
Bryce Restovic. He's pretty good. I forgot what school he goes to, but I think he goes to Loyola, I think, in Shreveport.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
know the name, and Loyola. Yeah, that's what I thought. They put up some video game numbers. Yeah, they put up like 40 a week, but yeah, I think Pop comes to LSU. And he plays as like a sophomore, redshirt, freshman, something like that. But his second year as a starter, I think he's going to put up some video game numbers.
Let's go. All right. We'll talk to you soon, man. Now go on.
Loyola College Prep. Fun fact before I go. Loyola College Prep, their mascot is the Flyers. It's a Snoopy. They actually got permission from Charles Schwartz to use Snoopy as their mascot. You can look it up. Real stuff.
Wait, they actually looked up. They actually got the clear.
They got a written permission from Charles Schwartz to use it as their mascot. They've been using it since like the 70s. Yep.
That's crazy. All right, Ant, we'll talk soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one, man.
All right, Ant Marshall, Petty Murphy 318, part of No Chill Sports. If you knew what he did as a job, you would have a lot more respect for him. I got to get a real person job this offseason. I'm not liking it. The cost of everything is up. I got to go get a real person job. I have the blessing of doing this for a living. It won't actually change my work here unless, you know, they have me working at 6 p.m. I don't know. I might be flipping burgers, which is okay. I did not know the Pelicans were playing. Okay. Now, last thing, I went on a rant about this last Thursday. Okay. This is really difficult because I am not a journalist. I've shared this a gazillion times. I am not a journalist. I have a journalism degree. But I myself am not a journalist. Y'all, I want to publicly share my love for Pablo Torre. I met Pablo a few weeks ago, and I've emailed with him previous to that, many a moons ago. This dude is doing actual journalism, and everyone benefits from it except the powerful people that he's reporting about. You should be pushing for more original, brave reporting. So he reported that 2 weeks before the season began, North Carolina went to Saudi Arabia to learn about fundraising efforts, because obviously Saudi Arabia, they have been spending quite a bit of money for other forms of American entertainment. Not just in sports, where, the Saudi Arabian Soccer League with Ronaldo, and then Tom Brady's going to go over there and play flag football. Also in comedy. All the stand-up comedy goats just did a stand-up comedy festival over there. Okay, now, I'm not going to get into the politics of all of that. It's just not my expertise, but it is interesting because there's private equity and other money sources that people are discussing when it comes to college football. You don't want that. You don't see that money. You yourself, you don't see it. You always want to be careful with these kinds of things. But Pablo Torre, he's not even a North Carolina beat reporter. Do you understand how many people have access to Mike Lombardi? He's a general manager of North Carolina, by the way. He's Bill Belichick's right-hand man. He was that with the Patriots. It is so hard to get a secret, to get something that people want to be kept secret. It's so hard. And Pablo has done this with five different stories in like the last year, basically. One guy. Now he has a team of people that probably helps him, but one guy has done this. Uncovered real secrets. Now, why do I say this? Well, yesterday, when ending the show, when we were talking about the Florida Gators, we were talking about the importance of coaching searches and coaching rumors. Most of the stuff you see, if it wants to get out, it'll get out. It's really hard to get stuff during coaching search cycles. Well, what happened earlier this week? Well, the Billy Napier's getting fired rumors this weekend are being shared by a bunch of people that do that aren't insiders. If people want something out, they will get it out. If they don't, unless you are an elite journalist like Pablo Torre, it's probably not ever seen the light of day. Actual, real journalism is hard. Most people in sports media that call themselves a journalist, they are not a journalist. They are a presenter. There's a difference. Huge difference. I am neither of those. I don't know. I'm probably more of a finalist, if anything, with a journalism degree. But there you go. Big thanks to our super chatters tonight. Sherry Berry, our lone super chatter, joined the YouTube membership program. Thank you so much, Sherry. I appreciate, above all else, your friendship. And we will talk to you guys early Saturday. We will have a pregame, a halftime, and a postgame show. And the pregame and the halftime show has kind of been a first quarter and third quarter play-by-play. So we do some play-by-play and some breakdowns while the game is actually going on. We have our own little telestrator, and we'll see you then. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight, we are doing chicken. Now, I did this whole show with no AC. Apologize for the late start. Didn't have any air conditioning. And we still don't. Me and Z-Baby are going to get burnt up. Let's go. Let's go.